I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, 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 bright sunshiny day.
What do you say?
Gonna be a bright, 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 bright sunshiny day. Oh yes, I can make it now, the pain is gone. All the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow been praying for. It's gonna be a bright, 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 bright sunshiny day.
Say it again.
Said it's gonna be a bright,
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 bright
sunshiny day. Look all around, there's nothing but blue sky. Look straight ahead, there's nothing but blue sky.
I'm Sue Warner, and I'm honored to serve on your Board of Trustees. Welcome to those in our sanctuary and everybody online. Our Sunday service is at 10 a.m. Central Time, and you can watch our service anytime on demand at our website or on YouTube. All men are invited to Tuesday night's men's group led by Adam Glatzel and Lou Longmire. Gather in Friendship Hall at 6:30 p.m. to create connections, experience healthy masculinity, and nourish your spiritual life. Then get ready to be amazed at Science and Wonder, Wizardry 101, this coming Saturday afternoon. Youth and adults will travel throughout the building for hands-on science activities with a wow factor. Knowledgeable science-focused adults will facilitate. Invite your friends and family. Children must be accompanied by a responsible adult. Next Sunday, October 29th, Michael Schwingel leads an afternoon workshop on journeying the internal landscape. Michael invites you to gently place your rational mind in the passenger seat and access the wisdom and intelligence of your body. Come and explore the concept of focusing. Then our monthly healing and wellness service is set for Tuesday, November 7th at 7 p.m. The service begins and ends with the sounds of the singing bowl, followed by a meditation and a series of 4 10-minute healing sessions. Your peaceful presence and heartfelt connection to the divine will create a sacred space for all who participate. And now, please join Reverend Pat for our opening prayer.
Thank you, Sue. I want to share with you again Unity's peace statement this morning. It's very important to me and hopefully to you as well. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, the many ways to worship God, for there is only one power and presence of God, and that God loves each of us equally. It is therefore the position of Unity Worldwide Ministries and Unity World Headquarters at Unity Village to urge all nations, their leaders, and their people to turn to God by whatever the name for guidance during these challenging times and pursue peace, not war, for this is what honors the God of all of our faith traditions. Unity stands for peace in our lifetime. Join me in our opening prayer. Sweet Holy Spirit within, we are grateful to know our oneness with each other, not only in this sanctuary today, but our oneness with all of humanity. We especially pray for the people of Israel and Palestine, Russia and Ukraine, Sudan, Ethiopia, and Yemen, and all others of the world today that has experienced conflict. We hold them in our heart, knowing that God is present and knowing that we are one with each and every person that's involved. Today, we especially pray with the leaders of the world, especially our leaders here in the United States, on the federal, the state, and local level. We pray with all of these leaders, giving thanks that they are guided by God's love and God's wisdom. We see that, we hold it in our heart, and together we say, thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And again, thank you, God. And yet again, thank you, God. Let's applaud this day, okay? Whoa. We invite you to stand for our opening song.
Hey, big thanks to Mary Burns Klinger for helping with him leading today. Here we go.
Sacred love is all that you are.
Sing it again.
You are sacred love. Sacred love is all that you are. You are sacred love. Sacred love is all that you are.
Show the way.
You are peace is all that you are.
Show the way.
Show the way, God, show the way. I want to live in such a thing of grace. Lead the way, God, lead the way. I want to live in such a holy place. Such a holy place.
Now you are deepest joy, deepest joy.
Deepest joy, deepest joy is all that you are.
Show the way.
Show the way, God, show the way. I want to live in such a state of grace.
Lead the way.
Lead the way, God, lead the way. I want to live in such a holy place. Such a
Good morning again. We welcome you, and we certainly welcome those that are live streaming with us today as well. As you know, Unity is an open and welcoming, inclusive community. We teach practical teachings that help us to live meaningful, healthy, and prosperous lives. One of Unity's core values here is that of welcoming. So it's a pleasure not only to welcome you now, but also those streaming. And we extend a special welcome to our guests today. So if you're visiting with us today or your first time here, would you allow us to honor your presence here today? Just take that deep breath with me. Take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. Courage out there. First guest. Yes, we had courage right down here. I know that. Wow, thank you for that courage out there. That packet of information you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. And in that packet of information, there's a card. If you choose to fill out any part of that card, turn that into our book desk. We have a gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you that personal one-on-one welcome. All of that's important, and yet one of the most important things that I say on this platform each and every Sunday morning, my dear friends, is this. And that is that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you are welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. And if you are streaming with us today, there's a link there that takes you to a contact card. If you choose to fill out any part of that card, that contact card, someone will reach out to you from our staff. We are blessed to have you both here. So God, let's appreciate our guests, okay? Our core values, let us affirm them together. Together, we are loving, transforming, welcoming, spirit-filled, prosperous, and joyful. And now the reading of our daily word, the daily word.
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word. You are invited to mentally add your prayers to our prayer box. After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court, where you may add your written requests. You may also submit an online prayer request via our website. Your prayers are prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days. Then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is grace. We affirm, I walk in grace and peace today. I give thanks for the activity of God in my life that appears as grace. This divine gift manifests as the beauty of the world and the people in it, and as the comforting presence of God within and around me each day. I do not have to do anything to earn grace because it does not result from my attitude or actions. It flows from the infinite love of God within every person and surrounding every circumstance. It is the indwelling presence that sustains me in challenging times and lifts me in good times. I accept grace with gratitude when I have stumbled along life's path and receive unexpected blessings. This boundless love fills my heart with bliss and peace. I live in the presence of infinite love, believing each unfolding event in my life is leading me to my highest good. And Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. And the word for today is grace.
This world as it is, go inside to find my God. I will leave this world as it is, go inside to find my God. I will leave this world as it is, go inside to find my God. This world as it is, go inside to find my God. Inside there is peace, inside there is joy, inside there is more than enough. Inside there is peace, inside there is joy, inside there is sacred love. To find my God. I will leave this day as it is, go inside to find my God. Inside there is peace, inside there is joy, inside there is more than enough. Inside there is peace, inside there is joy, inside there is sacred love. I will leave this life as it is, go inside to find my God. I will leave this life as it is, go inside to find my God. Go inside to find my God. I'll go inside to find my God.
So I invite you to join me in meditation. And as we gather in this sacred safe place, let us take just a moment to center ourselves. Perhaps close your eyes and breathe deeply. In this moment, we embrace the power of trust and the art of navigating the unknown. So let us begin by acknowledging the uncertainty that change often brings. It can be a source of fear and anxiety, resistance. But within the depths of our soul, we find the wisdom to embrace the change with open arms. We remind ourselves that change is part of our spiritual evolution. Change is a catalyst for growth, the teacher of resilience. Change is the key to our inner freedom. So imagine for a moment a magnificent tree standing tall in a lush forest. Its branches reach for the sky. Its roots run deep into the earth. The tree, like you, has weathered countless storms and seasons of change, and yet it stands strong, not by resisting the wind, but by bending and swaying with it. It trusts the natural rhythm of life, knowing that change is not a threat, but change is an opportunity for renewal. And with this understanding that we've established here, with this consciousness of love, understanding, we rest together in the stillness and in the quiet and in the power of the silence. So in our community, Unity Minneapolis, home for so many of us, we find strength in unity. We find strength in the shared wisdom of this community. And we remind each other that the unknown is not to be feared, for it is indeed a place of endless possibilities. And today we pray with those that have requested our prayers, represented by our prayer box, all of the electronic mail. We take each and prayer request. We hold it in a consciousness of love and a consciousness of answered prayer, giving thanks in advance. So let us take another deep breath together. We exhale, and as we slowly open our eyes, we carry trust every moment of the day with us. We say, thank you, God. Amen.
Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone will change. stays the same. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold, 'cause that's the way of time. Nothing, no one goes unchanged. There aren't not many things in life you can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds, sun lights up the sky, hummingbirds do fly, winter turns to spring, a wounded heart will heal, but never much too soon. Yes, everything must change. The young become the old, and mysteries they will unfold, 'cause that's the way of time. No one, nothing, nothing goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds, babies will cry, and hummingbirds do fly. Oh, rain comes from the clouds, sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds, hummingbirds do fly. Rain comes from the clouds, and the sun will light up the sky, and music makes me cry. Everything must
Ginger, always a pleasure having you here.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Perfect selection in terms of music, yeah. That song was part of my inspiration as I prepared for today's lesson. And to tell you about the song and its importance to me is, it's been recorded by a number of artists. I believe it was written by Quincy Jones. Though my favorite version of the song is from Olita Adams. And she had an album from 1990, I'm now dating myself, that was called The Circle of One. And this song was on that particular album. And the whole album is amazing, and especially that song just deeply touches my heart. Another reason that it's important to me is 30-some years ago, I was not yet a minister. 30-some years ago, I was not yet a psychologist. I was a restaurateur with my own business and a restaurant on Loring Park near downtown Minneapolis. And we would play music for our guests who were dining with us. And we did old school. CDs were played. And that CD was played again and again and again until it was eventually wore out. And it was my favorite, and so people got sick of hearing it in terms of staff, but that's another story. So no, needless to say, the song, the album is really part of my life, my journey, and kind of marks, and as I reflect on some significant changes for me. The song itself, I believe, lays a foundation for our entire series looking at trusting change, and especially for today's lesson. Last week, Reverend Pat said that if we are not growing, if we are not experiencing change and or changing, we're not growing and evolving. I will tell you that if we are not experiencing change and changing, we are dead. Feel free to check your pulse. Within the Bible, there are many references to change and trusting change and trusting source or higher power or God in times of change. From Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, we hear, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing new things. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Change has been, change is, and change will always be part of the human condition. This goes with the territory. As a psychologist, I'll suggest that generally speaking, we as human beings don't readily embrace change. I will also suggest that by nature, that there is a continuum of our preference and openness to change. And we could measure and calculate this, and we could line up in a continuum in terms of those who are change-hardy, is a term that I sometimes use, all the way down to those who are change-averse. The other factor you want to weave in here is this idea that our resistance to change is connected with locus of control. So if I feel like change is being pushed upon me from external forces and circumstances, I'm much more resistant. If it's change that I'm initiating and in control of and driving, much more open to that change. Many years ago, Charles Darwin said to us that it's not the strongest or the fittest of the species that survives, it's those that are most adaptable and able to change. I don't know about you, but I am more interested in thriving than just surviving. That said, I believe in order to truly thrive, we need to flex and adapt based on what's going on within our world and within our internal world. In my corporate work, I will sometimes use the phrase whitewater change to describe change that is, well, let's step back. When you think, if you've been whitewater rafting, if you've seen it somewhere on video or whatever, you know that whitewater rafting is fast. It's unpredictable, twists and turns and things like that. And so it's a matter of sort of buckling up and hoping you make it. And so if you think about what's going on in our world in the last, especially the last handful of years, and even longer, I believe that the rate of change has accelerated and amplified. It goes with that whitewater change concept. Another concept that I use in my corporate work when I'm doing work around change is a term by the name of VUCA. VUCA. And this was a term that was coined by the U.S. Army at least a few decades back. And what VUCA represents is volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. Volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. I believe that we have been and are living in a VUCA world. Can you relate? I believe that VUCA is the perfect descriptor for what is going on in the Middle East, the horrors there, as well as in Ukraine. I see these situations in desperate need of healing and transformation and positive change. I remind myself the importance of standing in a vision of a world of peace and plenty for all. I stand in that vision, and I invite you to stand in that vision with me to fully see that come to fruition. I'm also reminded that I am not my brother's keeper. I'm not my brother's keeper. I am my brother. I am my sister. We are all one. We'll leave that at that. So, if we are indeed living in this VUCA world, how do we deal with it? How do we navigate it individually as well as collectively? How do we make sense of it all? And I believe that the impact, the ability to change ourselves and the opportunity to transform individually and collectively, I believe that begins with me. It's an inside job to start with. As you may know, and especially for our guests, we are in the middle of a fall book study, and we're looking at this particular book called Trusting Change, Finding Our Way Through Personal and Global Transformation by Reverend Karen Herring. A few weeks back, she kicked off our series. Now, how awesome is it that we bring in an author of that quality to kick off our series? I'm kind of pleased and proud about that. And she has this amazing gift with words. My sense in listening to her and reading her and reading and hearing her poetry is that she is so deliberate and discerning and really curates and selects each and every word she uses. And so if you did not hear her that day, I really invite you to go listen to the recording, especially her poem. It's really, really amazing. So if change is in fact part of the human condition, we have a choice about what we do with it. We can ignore it and pretend it's not happening or it's not happening to me. Or we can proactively use change as a vehicle for our spiritual growth. In her book, Reverend Karen provides 10 skills, 10 specific practical skills that can help us navigate change in a better way and to help accelerate our spiritual growth. At the outset, she lays some foundational premises, including the idea that change itself can be used as a spiritual practice. Change itself can be used as a spiritual practice. And she also invites us to have a fundamentally different relationship with change, perhaps, than we've had in the past. Rather than fearing, rather than resisting, potentially welcoming me and seeing what gifts are available to me in this change. She tells us, with our uniquely human propensity for foresight and reason, we understand the world is meant to change. And because we understand that, in our fear of the unknown, we often do everything we can to deny it or prevent it. We miss the opportunities we are given to plow and plant the most fertile ridges beneath our feet, the holy ground of change. This book is intended to help us learn to trust change, to honor its place in the world, and in our ability to intentionally participate in it for individual and collective transformation. What are we about here at UNI Minneapolis? Is transformation somewhere in the mix? Thank you. Reverend Karen is very clear that regarding change, we are in this together. Participating in change is a sacred responsibility and task. And she specifically offers the term change echoes. And this is a concept that really is about my individual change impacts the collective, and the collective changes impact me personally. She regularly uses two terms throughout the book, thresholds and thresholders. Simply put, thresholds are those instances, those places, those moments where we are in between what was and not yet to be or to come. That place between the known and the unknown, between the familiar and the unfamiliar. Thresholders is the term she uses for all of us experiencing thresholds in our lives. especially if you are trying to experience those thresholds from a spiritual perspective. 2 weeks ago, Reverend Tony's lesson was, first you have to let go and grieve, where she looked at skills number one and number two from Reverend Karen. Skill number one is letting go. Sometimes we have no choice but to let go, because sometimes someone or something or our health is ripped away from us. We don't have much choice in some of those situations. Other times, we are deliberate and intentional about letting go of those things that no longer serve us. So there's a letting go of process. And sometimes we choose, or we try to choose, to let go of the good to make way for the possibility of the great. And sometimes that is a difficult place to be. The second skill is all about grieving and grief. She describes grief as recognizing and honoring that which was. And as a culture, you know this, as a culture, we're not very good at expressing and allowing time and space for grief. As a psychologist, I argue that grief has a cumulative impact and effect, that current grief will be triggered by past grief. And even though we might get more familiar and comfortable with loss and grief, I don't think it gets easier. I don't think it gets easier. I believe it's especially important to process and honor our grief. Last week, Reverend Pat's lesson was pausing in the between, where he addressed and identified skills 3 and 4. Skill number 3 is equanimity. And really, that's about practicing composure, mental calmness, and balance. And we can do this simply by taking some slow and deliberate breaths. We can do this by practicing mindfulness and not letting our emotions get the best of us. Sometimes when our emotions get the best of us, I call it the amygdala hijack, where our primitive brain kicks in and we want to fight or fight. And so it's just a matter of being mindful and calm in those moments. Skill number 4 is taking part in stillness. And if you've been around Unity even for this long, you know that we are all about taking time in stillness, taking time in prayer and meditation, finding that opportunity to still and be quiet and in the silence to tap into and access that still, small voice. Today's official title is Preparing for a Journey Through Terra Incognita. Terra Incognita is Latin for unknown land. So think about it this way. Terra is earth, and incognita is really the unknown or the unfamiliar. So think about when someone's going in incognito, same deal. And so the fact is that when ancient map makers were unsure of what was beyond unexplored territories, they would literally write on the map, Terra Incognita. And as thresholders navigating through a threshold, we are moving from the familiar to what we know and what we know into the unfamiliar and the unknown. We are the explorers stepping into unfamiliar terrain, and this is where skills 5 and 6 come into play. Navigating the unknown and preparing for the journey can be helpful as we step into what is new. Skill number 5 is navigating the unknown. I don't know about you, but when I'm going somewhere for the first time, I like to be in control. And the first place I go is to my GPS and my map function in terms of my phone. And what Reverend Karen tells us is that threshold living occurs in terra incognita. Now, we might turn to maps prepared by others who have crossed similar thresholds for guidance. No one's experience will be quite like ours. Their maps might offer useful information, but they will never be complete, and they might also be biased. On any threshold, personal or collective, we will encounter areas that have not been fully charted. Our challenge in entering and naming these regions is to cultivate an explorer's curiosity strong enough to replace the battle stance triggered by speculation of dragons or other mythical hazards. To best navigate the unknown, we must know where our true north is. Our true north is what guides and informs us as we make our way into and through the unfamiliar. Our true north emerges from our deepest convictions and is informed by internal feelings and nudges, as well as it's correlating with external markers and signs from the world. Reverend Karen invites us to consider our own true north. She asks, what is your magnetic north? And are you tuning into it on the threshold as you navigate the unknown and unseen terrain? Opening our whole being to the vibrations within and around us and learning to correlate them with whatever we claim as our magnetic north is less dependent on our ears and auditory nerves than it is on our ability to listen with our hearts. Your magnetic north may be God, Allah, or the spirit of life by these or other names. It might be the universe known by science or spirit or your communities, your ancestors, and your stories of history or myth. Any of these will provide a magnetic field we can home in on, correlating with what we learn from our own heart and from the world around us. Simply put, we are better equipped to navigate the unknown when we know who we are and whose we are, and when we are awake enough to listen to our heart, our own lessons of experience, and the collective wisdom of community. My true north is based in our five unity principles. It's also based in the belief that all things work together for good and for my soul's growth. And I'll be darned, sometimes that's super easy to say and so difficult to believe and live into. Moving on to skill number 6, preparing for the journey. With this skill, Reverend Karen focused on the importance of living well and well-being. What we individually consider to be living well changes as we age or as we experience health challenges. This reality can cause us to recognize the fragility and temporary nature of life, which then causes us to live much more authentically and on purpose. It drives a greater sense of confidence and urgency to move beyond the thresholds of our lives. Regarding well-being, she encourages us to keep asking ourselves, what is essential for our well-being on an ongoing basis? Because it is likely that that will change over time. She tells us, when preparing for your journey through change, ask yourself multiple times as you go, what do you need to experience well-being now, and now, and now? Ask the question with as much curiosity and openness as you can muster, listening carefully for answers that may shift. What you needed before will not necessarily be what you need now or what you will need in the future. The caterpillar knows only it needs to eat and grow until its last skin is used and shed. We too might know only an appetite for what has fed us before until we move more fully into our chrysalis space. Each step of the journey might reveal a new kind of well-being and new needs to support it. Consciously tending to and adapting to ever-changing variables related to living well and well-being help us more effectively move into the journey of what is to come. Besides living well and an intentional focus on well-being, having a sense of home is essential. In this case, home is more of a state of mind and connection than it is a physical space, though it could be a physical space as well. Reverend Karen states, in the pause between what is no longer and what is not yet, we might discover our greatest need, like the caterpillars, is for time and space where we can dissolve our old ways of being. In this stage, home might temporarily be wherever we are able to let go of old structures and wait a while for the new ones to emerge. It may be a home metaphorically made of camouflage and protection as the chrysalis offers to the caterpillar's goo. For us as humans, it's also made of the relationships, elements, and interactions that support and protect our becoming. Inside this space, it will be alive with vibrations, new arrangements in the making. A good home on the threshold is an interconnected ecosystem that builds resilience and supports change. Builds resilience and supports change. For me, my sense of home is absolutely tied to my family of choice. These are individuals in my life who love, support, and comfort me in times of difficult change. They are also the first ones I go to celebrate when positive change are in the mix. They also remind me that all things are working together for my good and my spiritual growth, especially when I forget. In closing, I know that I've shared lots of information with you, and I want to get to the so what, especially around skills 5 and 6. And it really is about our own true north and our own personal sense of home. My prayer for all of us is that we always know our true north, that we always are clear and have a deep sense of home, whatever that is for each of us, especially in times of difficult change. This week, if you so choose, I invite you to reflect on what is your true north. What grounds you? Where and who is your home? Who is home for you? Which relationships in your life support and sustain you, especially in times of change? We continue this journey looking at trusting change next week with a couple additional skills. And so it is.
Everybody's got a thing, but some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out. Say your style of life's a drag, and that you must go to other places. Just don't you feel too bad when you get fooled by smiling faces. Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on your side when you check it. Don't you worry about me.
Great to have you with us. Thank you, Ginger. Wonderful morning for music. And Reverend Kevin, thanks for a solid, great lesson this morning as well. We are blessed, are we not? We are so blessed. I want to share a couple of things with you. First of all, our unit teams in YOU, they are at retreat, and this is the first time they've gone away in a long time with this many, and they have four sponsors with them. They're not going to get away with anything, you know. But what they will be doing is they'll be driving back this afternoon, you know, they'll be, and so hold them in prayer today as we know that they're driving back. And then also, I want to do a shout out for the garden team. There were about 10 or 12 people here yesterday that really worked in our gardens and put those to bed. We really appreciate that. And then also, I want to do a shout out for Reverend Karen Herring. As you know, she began our series and did a wonderful job, as Reverend Kevin indicated. And we are so blessed. She will be back here on November the 12th to close our series as well. So we are blessed. We are indeed blessed. So if you did not, you want to hear her. She's absolutely wonderful. Mark it on your calendar. All of these things happen because of you. You and your generosity. You and your faith in what we're doing here as well. So thank you so much. So let's bring our ushers forth as we prepare to receive our tithes and our gifts and our offerings. I will affirm our church offertory blessing once, then affirm it with you, and then we'll do it silently. Also on our screen, for those that are live streaming today, gives you ways that you can give to Unity Minneapolis, Venmo, PayPal, check in the mail, QR code here, as we have them here online in the sanctuary as well. So let's just take a moment and center ourselves again in this, the power of the silence. We give thanks that this presence within is truly a prospering presence and that we are one with it. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silent. Thank you, God. So let us take a moment and bless these gifts together. We give thanks for these gifts. We give thanks for the gifts that's been received in the mail, electronically given. We give thanks for all of these gifts, and we do send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission of a transformed world. And for that, we're grateful. We say thank you, God, and so it is. Amen. Inviting our on-duty Unity prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrived early, and they held sacred space, and they're here to hold that sacred space with you today as well. So if you have a prayer request, seek out a Unity prayer chaplain. Thank you for your service, and you may be seated. I want to also share with you that our beloved Jerry Sass made the ultimate threshold transition last night at 11:22 p.m. I know many of us know Jerry and love her, and we'll hold Jerry and her family in our heart. I was in contact with her daughter today, this earlier this morning, and those services will be held later, more than likely in December. But please hold Jerry as her soul is ongoing, surrounded by God's love and God's light, and hold her family in prayer as well. I think we have children out there, so let's stand and let's bring them in, okay?
We are walking in the light, in the light, in the light. We are walking in the light, in the light of God. In the light, 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 in the light.
See, you are walking in the light, in the light, in the light.
You are walking.
Hi, yep. Our friend Cassidy is off today with the YOUs. They are having a retreat. So what we did in Sunday school today is what you give from the heart reaches the heart. And we did a story about a family who was very poor, but they had to give to another family that was even poorer than they were. And they found some gifts that came from the heart. So we talked about that, and then we made a little love chain with all kinds of things on it about love and love words. And that's today.
And that's Lynn Jensen. God bless her, and all these other adult volunteers. Let's do that, okay? It's a gorgeous day, is it not?
Yeah.
And so go forth and enjoy, and we really appreciate your assignment, Reverend, over there. We do appreciate that. So let us know together our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. Speak to at least three people you don't know. It could change your life. Speaking of change.
God as our creator, family.
of your fellow man. Lend him a helping hand. Put a little love in your heart. You see it's getting late. Oh, please don't hesitate. Put a little love in your heart. And the world, will be a better place. And the world, will be a better place for you.
For you.
And me.
And me.
You just wait.
Just wait.
And see. Another day goes by, and still the children cry. Put a little love in your heart. If you want the world to know, we won't let hatred grow. Put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you
and me.
You just wait.
Just wait.
Yes, put a little love in your heart.